Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, I'm finding out about the big trends for the first part of this year. I'm joined by Lucinda Guthrie, who's the Executive Global Editor for Merger Market. Hi, Lucinda. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Juliana.
So can you begin with the headline findings for M&A in the first half of 2024 globally, please?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been incredibly exciting this first half. We've seen a huge amount of activity come back, partly because at the beginning of the year, there was an expectation that interest rates were going to be cut up to six times in the US, but obviously expectations have normalized. But as a result of an improved confidence, we've had global M&A volume is up 17% so far this year. One of the really interesting things that's been pushing that is the comeback of mega deals. We've had 20 deals worth more than $10 billion in the first half, including 14 in the US. And really, that level of activity we just haven't seen since conditions reset with increasing interest rates. So that's been an incredibly interesting thing to watch, particularly looking at listed corporates who are looking to find growth in the higher interest rate environment, and looking at even using their shares to use as a deal currency. And then the last thing I think that's been really interesting to see has been the return of private equity buyouts. I think even though we had this sort of change in rate expectations, we've seen buyouts return. There was a 37% increase in private equity buyouts so far this year. And we've also seen them taking slightly larger chunks as they look to make acquisitions. So that's wonderful to see private equity come back. However, we haven't quite seen the exits yet. So really exciting first half so far.
And obviously there was renewed optimism, particularly in the earlier part of the year. But what's the reason behind the large number of mega deals?
Well, I think the thing we were really seeing was listed corporates come back with these huge transactions, or at least slightly larger transactions than we've been used to. And I think one of the things there is that you've seen the S&P rise. I think it's around 20% over the last year. And so people are looking at, hang on, I need to find growth in this environment. So there's a case of confidence, being able to use those shares as a currency and find a transaction. So I think that because of that, some of the corporates were able to, operate in this environment a bit more easily than sponsors.
And you mentioned about the private equity buyouts. Can you tell me more about that you've seen a resurgence there?
Yes. Well, as we all know, M&A market conditions really reset 2 years ago when rates went up. Now, what is starting to happen, I believe, is that there are two things going on here. First of all, I mentioned that there's an expectation of potential rate cuts, but also there's a realization that this is the new environment. We are going to have higher rates for longer. They're not going to go back to the kind of era of free money. And private equity has capital to deploy. They are under pressure to put their dry powder to work. And there is a sense that this year there are a lot of good value assets in the market. So they are under a bit of pressure to start getting into action. And I think that is what's behind here. One of the things that is interesting, though, I think, is that we are seeing more of those kind of initial buys, you know, whether it's interest actually in listed stocks. We've seen a few of those take privates. For example, here in UK, there's Hargreaves Lansdown is a private equity take private target. And in the US, one of our top deals was an LBO, in fact. So I think there is a real realization that this is the new environment and private equity has to start putting that capital to work.
Thanks. And looking at North America, which, as you mentioned, accounted for a lot of deal volume globally, the oil and gas industry, interestingly, was one of the most active sectors in the first half of the year with some really big deals. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Yes. Now, the interesting thing about North America as a whole is when you look at it, generally, we're looking at a region where acquirers are thinking, you know, I'm a little bit cushioned from some of the macro volatility. Oil and gas, obviously, is one of the sectors that is seeing a driver based on that volatility, right? They've had higher commodity prices for longer, so it's time to put that capital to work. And there's also a sense that some of the buyers want to start securing productive assets. Now, what's actually happened here is because there's been so much activity and there's this race towards productive assets that we're really seeing a lot of interest in the Permian Basin in the US, which supplies a huge amount of oil and gas to North America. And now we're even seeing private equity testing the water for exits. Because that's something we haven't really seen so far, that exit. And they're even testing the market on assets that are just prospective, so they haven't actually started production yet. And there's interest there because people can see the benefit of scale if they have an asset already in that region. So super exciting. I think there's a lot more to happen there, potentially more in the mid-cap space. Will be a huge flow of activity, according to our reporters who are focused on that sector.
And can you just run through a couple of the big deals that you've seen in that sector, please?
Well, two of the biggest deals for the first half were Endeavour Energy Resources and Marathon Oil, ConocoPhillips. Now, the thing about the Marathon Oil deal that's particularly interesting is that that was one of the only two top 10 transactions that was announced in the second quarter. So even as some of the M&A activity was starting to come back, we still had Marathon, and it was in that Permian Basin. So it's in that really key region, and we were really waiting for Marathon Oil to find its dance partner.
And staying with North America, can we talk a bit about generative AI, which it seems like you can't escape it at the moment? There's been a big increase in deal activity and in generative AI. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yes. Well, the thing is, technology, M&A as a whole has really, it's been a thing for such a long time with the quest for digitization. And now with AI, we're seeing that even further continue. So every company pretty much is trying to think about how can I apply AI to my industry and what does it mean for us? And there's a real race for talent and for assets, particularly in that space where you can sort of make those applications that sort of bring it to life, if you like, for the different industries. So that's another area that we should really keep an eye on. Obviously, Nvidia has been incredibly active in the first half. And if you look at the VC investments that Nvidia has, because obviously we see the headlines around the M&A, but there's a huge volume of VC investments that are sort of below the radar that we should also keep an eye on for hints for future potential activity.
So looking at EMEA, the UK is a standout country in the region. Can you tell me more about that and why it's had such a good start to 2024, please?
The UK has a number of fantastic quality companies. And right now, it's that same trend that we're seeing of listed targets, large listed targets, attracting acquisition interest. Now, there's a few things going on there. You've got a number of companies that are looking at their US peers and thinking, well, why am I not valued in the same way they are? In some cases, it could be that you could you know, shift your listing to the US and achieve the same value. And in others, it's not the same. There might be a structural difference, but people are looking at that. And there's a lot of talk about UK businesses being undervalued. When you look at a company like Darktrace, for example, it really isn't just a domestic British company. It's something that can apply internationally. And that's why people see the interest there. And again, that was a private equity buyout. I think there's a real sense that there is an interest, particularly from the US as well, in companies that are seen as global and they're British really in listing only. And so as a result, there's a real opportunity there for corporate financiers to think about taking advantage of what's a cheap valuation when people have got capital to put to work.
Great, thank you. And we'll just touch on the Asia Pacific region. We spoke to Kate on the last episode in South Korea, but could you just briefly touch on that? Because by comparison to the UK and North America, the Asia Pacific region hasn't had a very good start to the year, has it?
No, absolutely. And I think that you really have seen the Asia volume really shrink. And that's largely down to the kind of cooling of Chinese M&A. China used to be a real powerhouse for M&A. And with macro geopolitical tensions, that's really calmed down. In that region now, the areas that we've been watching and that have seen, you know, more activity. India has been very active. And also we're seeing that take private trend again in Hong Kong and also in Australia. So those are the kind of areas that have been keeping things moving in Asia.
Great, thank you. And so rounding up and looking ahead to the rest of 2024, we've got loads of elections coming up across the globe, including the big one in the US in the autumn. How do you expect the rest of 2024 to pan out?
Whenever you have elections, and particularly when you've got so many of them, there's always an expectation that M&A will pull back a bit. I think we'll be looking at sectors that are going to, you know, have those drivers regardless of what the outcome of the elections are. Obviously, technology, we anticipate, will continue to roll on, and potentially the oil and gas that I mentioned as well. I think the interesting thing when I talk to some of my contacts in the market is that particularly for the US, this year, unlike previous election years, there is a little bit less of uncertainty around it because both the Biden and Trump administrations are known entities to a certain extent. With Trump, you don't know what to expect, but we know that. We've been there before and we've seen that. I think people are more concerned in Europe about the US elections than they are actually in the US because of the impact on foreign policy. That being said, I do think even though the elections will have an impact, the biggest driver for M&A is going to be what happens with interest rates. And indeed, you know, that might be something that after elections, you know, is stimulates some activity going forward.
Okay, so we will be keeping a close eye on interest rates. Lucinda, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Lucinda Guthrie, who is the Executive Global Editor for Merger Market. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.